Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Pringle. And can you believe it? This is our 100th episode. I'm so thankful for all of you and grateful to you, our listeners, for tuning in every week. Thanks for that. I so deeply appreciate your listening, your support, and I really pray that these help you, inform you, equip you, empower you, and encourage you for whatever you put your hand to, whatever God's called you to do. We love creating content just for you and value definitely your feedback. Tell us how we can do better. We'd appreciate that. So just a big warm thank you from myself and the team. This is our 100th episode, and it's a devotional I recorded a little while ago from Mark 11. Enjoy. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this faith devotional. And I have added the word faith to these devotionals simply because I believe the greatest effect of the pandemic over the last few years has been to create fear. And we need to eradicate fear from our lives, especially when it is eroding our faith. It's creating anxiety and worry and nervousness and paranoia. And there's all these kinds of fears that can paralyze people's lives. So as we look into the scripture, we find that faith is a major theme throughout the Bible. When God comes, he brings faith. When the word of God comes into our life, it brings faith. And anything that is bringing the opposite is not from the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear, Paul said to Timothy. Why do you have to say that? Simply because very often people think that bringing doubt into people's lives or making them insecure or guilty or anxious is coming from God, but it's not. And that's the delusion and the camouflage that the enemy will often use. So we're talking about faith. And my most favorite passage on the whole subject of faith in Scripture is what we're looking at now. The context is a fig tree. In Mark 11:20, it says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from its roots," or the fig tree. This was a fig tree that Jesus had expected something from. It had given out that it should be giving something, but it didn't. And so he cursed it. But actually, all he said was, "No one will eat fruit from you ever again." He didn't actually say, "I curse you." And yet the disciples, in verse 21, Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Interesting that Jesus didn't say, "I curse you, fig tree," but just said some negative words over it, and yet it died. That's the power, the whole context of this scripture, and the content and the purpose of Jesus' teaching around this is the power of our words, the power of what we declare, the power of what we project in our communications. And so as he referred to this, as Peter referred to this, he also said, interestingly, when they looked at it, they saw that it had withered from the roots upwards. It had died from the roots. So the fact is, when Jesus did say that, nothing appeared to change. The leaves were still waving in the wind. The tree didn't instantly look like it was dead, but at its roots, it was. And slowly overnight, that death, that deadly word had its impact all the way through the tree. And when they looked at it the next day, it was withered and dead. So even though we might understand the power of words, we can get discouraged initially by, after speaking or praying about a matter, that the leaves are still waving in the wind. It doesn't appear to have changed at all. However, we've got to know that when we employ the principles of God, the laws of God, the laws of faith, that they will work. As sure as the law of gravity will affect a stone that's dropped, it'll fall to the ground. Same with the law of faith. when we employ these principles, they will go into action. God has given them to us so that we can move through life understanding how to live in victory, how to live with blessing, how to walk into the future powerfully, not fearfully. So in verse 22, Jesus answered, after they had noted that the fig tree had died, he said, have faith in God. Now, this is important that we don't just have faith, but we have faith in God. Faith is not God. It isn't going to do what we want to do without any repercussions or any engagement with God. Faith enables us to actually connect with God and with his power. Faith in God means I trust him. Faith in God means I believe his word is true, regardless of what the context and the circumstances are, which could be completely the opposite to what God is saying. Faith recognizes that God's word prevails far above every other word. Faith in God means I trust his integrity to keep his promise. Faith in God means I believe that his power will operate in my life in a greater level than any negative force can. So if there's sickness in my body, my faith in God is that his power is greater than that sickness. His power is greater than my circumstances. So once I have faith in God, not just faith in faith or just having faith, you got to have faith, direct your faith into God and believe him that he is trustworthy, powerful. And also, having faith in God means I have faith not just in his ability to solve a problem, but that he will, that his will is to solve the problem, because often that is the undoing of people's faith. They doubt his will. They don't believe God is good, so they think he's going to do something bad in their life or that bad things are going to come. God is a good God. When we put faith in him, we attract his goodness into our lives. In fact, in Romans chapter 11, it talks about the people of faith experience the goodness of God. The people of unbelief experience the severity of God. And when we live in unbelief in God, it's the exact opposite of what faith in him will do. There is no neutral ground. So we need to make that decision to flick the switch of faith, move into faith, and have faith in God. Say, we're going to have a positive confidence in God's ability and his will and his power and his trustworthiness to move in my life and bring solutions, whether it changes me or the circumstances. I have faith that he will bring this to pass. And as you have that kind of faith, God will move without a doubt. So then Jesus moves into teaching the ways of faith. And in the next two verses, he explains two of the most incredible principles that you and I can get a hold of. If we could understand these two principles and then embrace them and act on them, you are going to find that it changes your life, the life of people around you, the trajectory of your future. It will change everything. And honestly, to find this confidence in life is better than winning the lottery. This is hitting the jackpot of living when we discover faith in God, because it will help you travel through every situation you face in victory and help you do great exploits for God, withstand the enemy, defeat everything that's trying to defeat you, and connect you with the God of heaven and earth. And he will smile on the people of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those who have belief in God, please God. And so here Jesus, in verse 23, he starts to explain these ways of faith. He says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So this is what Jesus is interpreting as faith in God is. When my faith is in God, it forms my language. It creates projections and prophecies and proclamations over my world that will actually influence that world and change the shape of whatever I want to bring a change to. Romans 5:17 says, those who have the righteousness of Jesus in this life shall reign in life by Christ Jesus. Reigning like a king, reigning like a person who decrees certain things to happen in the kingdom and they come to pass. And Jesus said, if you can understand this law, then it will happen. Sometimes I've heard people explain this as a spiritual mountain. They say, well, this is speaking to spiritual things. But the fig tree they just saw wasn't a spiritual fig tree. It was a physical, literal plant that he had spoken to. It wasn't metaphorical. It wasn't invisible. It wasn't spiritual. It was actually there. And so without skipping a beat, he simply says, not only will you do that to that thing, that's not just the beginning. That's not just the end of what you can do with this principle. You could say to this mountain, be removed. So Jesus starts to blow our minds right here because he's talking about an entire mountain being moved by words. He says, even if you have a little faith, you can do this. So faith in God empowers our words of declaration. And that's how faith works. Faith proclaims, it speaks, it prophesies, it declares. Faith has a voice. Faith has words. And it becomes like the word of the Lord in our mouth. And God anoints that word. He puts that word. He shapes that word inside us as we speak and we proclaim situations to change. We declare it. Now, this isn't just some superstitious chanting. This isn't some idea of incantations or whatever. This is literally speaking as a mouthpiece for God on planet Earth and ruling in life by Christ Jesus. Jesus, every time he worked a miracle, would speak to it. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the wind and they stopped. He said, thank you, God, you've heard me, when he broke the bread open. And he spoke to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. Faith has a voice. Faith speaks. And what we say has an impact. When we speak, not only do we speak to the circumstance, we speak to our own heart. And our heart and our mind believes what it hears. And oftentimes, people are creating a negative faith or a fear in their lives by what they are saying. They're saying, oh, life never works for me. Money always runs out. I'm never going anywhere. Oh, everybody doesn't approve of me. They don't like me. I can't get anywhere. I mean, the whole internet seems to me just full, most of it, of negativity on all the social media platforms where they're arguing and debating and passing comment on politics and every other thing. It just seems that we have got a very large component of negativity. For some people, complaining is the culture of their language. They can't talk in any other form. Or criticism and gossip. They just can't say anything nice about anybody. Our language defines us. It forms us. And so if we're going to change, we begin the change in our mouth. Even if within we're still feeling negative, if we speak with our mouth, say, I'm a positive person. I'm a gracious person. I'm a confident person. I have faith inside of me. I'm full of power by the Spirit of God. And we speak scripture over our lives. My God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Be anxious for nothing. Fear not, for I am with you. Speaking scripture is one of the most powerful things you can do in this life, especially in a fight against the devil, in a fight against negativity. Jesus employed this in the wilderness against the devil. He said, it is written. He didn't even say, I've heard from God down at River Jordan, you are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. He didn't even try to fight the devil with subjective experiences. He took the objective word of God, said, it is written, and defeated the devil and all of his temptations with the word of God. And when you and I pick up the sword of the Spirit, which Paul says, take up the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6, well, the reason we've got to take it up is because we've dropped it or we haven't ever used it. And the place that you use the sword of the Spirit is in your mouth. You have to speak it. Speaking scripture is one of the most powerful things you can do. They are God's words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. When you take God's word, put it in your mouth and speak it, you've become a mouthpiece for God in the earth. But so often we're speaking our own words, our own opinions, and we need, as preachers, to preach the word. Like Paul told Timothy, preach the word. He also says, holding forth the word of life. It is so important that the scripture gets in people's hearts and minds and forms their life, forms an image of who they are in Christ, forms the image of who God is, so that reality is revealed to every one of us through the scripture. And understanding scripture means I move into a place of declaring it over my circumstances. Half of my prayer life would be quoting scripture. Much of the time, I am speaking about prayers that I have prayed and then prophesying them like Jesus told me to, here to speak to the mountain. And not just speaking about the mountain. He says, actually speak to it. It kind of is unusual, speaking to an inanimate object and thinking, well, this is a little unusual, but speak to your situation. Speak to the difficult marriage. Speak to the difficult church, the difficult problem that you're facing, the challenging finances. Say, you finances, you will improve in Jesus' name. And I know it sounds unusual, but this is what Jesus told us to do. We're following him. So he says, you speak to the mountain like I spoke to the wind and the storm. And we speak to sickness and we say, be healed. We speak to trouble and confusion and we say, be calm. We speak to depression and say, be joyful. We speak to damaged, wounded hearts and we say, be healed within. The power of God is on you. The Spirit of the Lord is here. God is with us. This is simply stating reality. And as we do that, we will find the power of God accompanies us speaking his words. So Jesus says, if you say, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things will be done, he will have whatever he says. The does not doubt is a decision. It isn't happens to not doubt. It doesn't say that. Faith is a decision, and so is not doubting. So when doubts come to mind, I don't entertain them. Negative thoughts are like birds flying across your head. It's your decision whether they nest there or not. So I just make a decision, no, I'm not thinking that. And this can be a fight. This is going to battle in the mind. And it can seem like you're lifting a weight that's too great for you to get off, but you can do it. See, I'm not thinking that. And you can control your thinking by speaking. And as you speak, fear not, for I am with you. It will change the way you're thinking, adjust your mind, adjust your attitude, and fill you with faith. So as we go through these devotions on faith, I'm excited about the next session, completing this particular subject out of Mark 11.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.